This meeting
Well,
is
all right.
Recorded.
Well, welcome. We're going to call the meeting to order. My name is Scott Bartlett, functioning as chair here or co-chair. And would we please have a roster of who's in attendance right now? Elise?
Elise Larkin, Lane County Animal Services.
Go around the table, please.
Sure. Linda Kornhai. Mr. David Calderwood.
Yep.
Yeah. Ms. Virginia Kaiser. Katie James. Sasha Elliott. Scott Bartlett and someone very echoey.
Getting a big echo. Well, that stopped
it. I don't know
it.
What that. Yeah.
I'm not sure who that person was, but I just muted them.
Okay, so Linda Kornhai, David Calderwood, who else?
Katie James, Sasha Elliott from Greenhill, guest and applicant for the at-large position, Virginia Kaiser. And I'm wondering if the additional person is our other applicant. I'm going to unmute them for a second. Is that you, Fran? I'm not sure who our additional participant is.
Okay, so the members that are here, Linda Kornhauser, David Calderwood, Scott Bartlett, and who's the third, the fourth?
Katie.
Katie.
Okay, good. So we have a quorum, correct?
Yes, we do.
Yes. All right, well, that's great. And this is the meeting of December 13th, 2021 of the Lane County Animal Services Advisory Committee. And the time being past 4 p.m., the meeting is now being conducted. Welcome, and are there any people who wish to make a public comment or introductions or anything of that nature? Hearing none, are there any changes or additions to the agenda the committee would care to contribute to? All right. And then number three is acknowledging the audio minutes of November 2021. Would anyone care to comment on them or amend them or in any way embellish them?
I did not listen to them.
Okay. All right. So new and continuing business. There's an advisory committee at large vacancy update. And Elise, would you care to elucidate us?
Yes, we have received two applicants for the at large position, one of which is on our meeting for sure today, is Virginia Kaiser. And then we have an additional applicant named Francis Munkenbeck, it's a doctor. And she said that she would be joining us slightly after 4 p.m. So if she's not on currently, I bet she'll be hopping on shortly.
Okay, sounds great. so we received those. Would Virginia Kaiser, Virginia, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little about your interest in this area?
Oops, Virginia, I think you need to unmute.
You're muted, Virginia.
She's unmuted.
That one?
There you go.
Is that there?
You're good.
I'm just techie enough to be in trouble. I'm a retired Springfield teacher and retired symphony member. I've had horses and dogs and cats all of my life. Still have both, or all three. Linda Kornheis suggested that I might be interested in the committee, and here I am.
Okie dokie.
Thank you for your application.
Yes, thank you, Virginia.
Do you have horses right now?
I do have horses. I have one. I have had
Where do you
as many
live?
As four. Pardon?
Where is the, does the horse live with you at your property or where?
No, I have her boarded up at Gentle Oak Stable, which is near Corvallis. She's been in several stables down here in the Springfield, Eugene area, and she was extremely unhappy a year ago, and I moved her.
Okay.
So I'm driving many miles to see her.
I'm sure she appreciates that. So are there any particular areas that concern you and or trouble you or periodically alarm you pertaining to animal condition?
Yes, I get concerned over the the situation you had down in Creswell last year or a year ago with the horses. I'm seriously concerned about that kind of situation. I'm concerned also, I have a friend who lives in Creswell, and I also know that they seem to have a lot of loose dogs that seem to get mushed by cars and et cetera. And why they've got that many on the loose, I do not know.
Yes, that's really sad. And I didn't know that. Maybe we, does Creswell have its own animal, quote, control or services person? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I wonder if their licensing is, at least is Creswell's licensing through us or through just them?
I apologize, I was muted. City of Creswell handles their own animal control through their police department, is my understanding. And if they do have an active licensing program, it would be through the city hall.
Okay. Well, judging from what Virginia says, someone's not protecting these dogs policy-wise.
Or Virginia, well, are you in Creswell?
No, I'm in Springfield. I have a friend who lives in Creswell.
I see.
And I'm on the Creswell community page. And so I see notices quite frequently of dogs that have been picked. You know, somebody's found a loose dog. Another dog's been hit. The family that my friend lives with just had a dog about, I don't know, a couple of 3 months ago that was hit and killed. And not sure why that one was on the loose either.
Well, it's tragic and it's heartbreaking and it's totally irresponsible. And if you've ever had to drive by a dog that has been killed, it's really a sad thing and an unnecessary thing. So perhaps we can, and Virginia, you can explore this in terms of roaming canines and, you know, what the heck is going on there? Do they have penalties for that? Do they have any education? You know,
Well, we would know, we would need to know if it's one person or multiple people.
Right.
Well, in my experience, some people are not capable of keeping a dog in the house. So if it's one person, then it would have to, you know, be addressed in that one particular location.
Doesn't sound like it.
Might be a community problem. What's that, Virginia? It's what?
It's a lot of people down there, unfortunately.
Are you talking about maybe the city area or, you know, outside in the more rural parts of Creswell?
You know, I'm not real sure. I know that my friend lives, it's in a housing, well, she actually lives in the property almost right across from the one that where the horse situation took place. That's where she.
So, you know, the relevant thing is if they are in unincorporated Lane County, then Lane County Animal Services does have jurisdiction in terms of policy enforcement, et cetera. If they're within city limits, then your friend and other people can work with city councilors and or the staff at the police department, whoever they may be. So that's something perhaps as a citizen or, you know, in another capacity with a committee or whatever, we could work on and put on an agenda item for the next time. I believe we have another companion here that's just come on board.
My name's Fran Bunkenbeck. I just signed in. I'm sorry. It was my first day of subbing and I was a little late, so I apologize.
No, you don't need to, but welcome aboard. And
thank you.
You are a veterinarian or a medical doctor or what?
Well, I'm a physician, just recently retired. I still do some things in medicine, but mostly retired. And I was asked to help out with substitute teaching. So I'm doing that now because they're in need. I'm also been active with Green Hill since at least 2017 over the years. And it was through Green Hill that they mentioned this particular opening for an at-large position. So that's why I applied. So
thank you. And so that is great. And we're now in the middle of our meeting. And you are an applicant. Would you care? No, so we're in the section of applicant self-introductions. So your timing is good. You want to tell us your life history starting from, but whatever you'd like to talk about.
My life history? Well,
I grew up
in New York. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. When I was a kid, I mean, whatever animal came to our house that needed to have a place to live, we took them in. We took a lot of cats in over the years. And we also had geese and we had a snake. And so I had a love for animals. And then over the years, you know, I've always loved, you know, Green Hill when I lived here. And when I was able to have time to volunteer at Green Hill, I volunteered. And I've done different roles at Green Hill. Before the pandemic, I was doing in the kennel and helping with training and things like that. And then when the pandemic came, you know, people stopped doing that for a while. But I always did the remote follow-up. I would do call people and see how their adoptions were going. And I've worked recently in the cattery because I've been predominantly helping with Lane County Public Health with vaccinations. So I can only do as needed stuff in the cattery, and that's what I've been doing. But I also helped. There was one hoarding case. I think it was near Veneta, but not quite Veneta. It was past Green Hill, and it was in a rural area where someone hoarded a bunch of cats, and actually the house finally was condemned, and I helped. It was a project to do trap, neuter, release, and a few cats were able to be adopted, but most of them were returned. They're feral cats, but the house was condemned. And then we fed the cats because we didn't want them to starve. There was a number of them. And the person who was hoarding wound up going to a care facility. So that's my experience, you know, with Green Hill, and I've helped with some fundraising too. So I've been involved with Green Hill over the years in various capacities, and I've seen dogs brought in, potentially dangerous dogs. And then I've seen animals come in hurt that need to be either they're able to help fix them or they have to be unfortunately put down. So I've seen the kind of the spectrum, and I've been involved with when there's kitten season and things like that. So I've kind of seen what goes on. I was impressed by your statistics, how Eugene has more cats than Springfield, and I don't understand why that's so, but that's what it seems to be. I don't know if Eugene's more of a cat town. I have two cats myself, so.
And you live in Eugene?
I live in Eugene, yeah. Yeah, I live in Eugene. I live in the University District, and there's a lot of dog owners there. Most are responsible. I heard you talking about loose dogs. We have had a few in our neighborhood, but in general, people in the University District have been pretty respectful and care for their animals pretty well. So I just didn't realize that Eugene had more. It was 45 cats in the shelter from Eugene, and only very few from Springfield and overall Lane County. So I don't know.
Yeah. Are those feral cats in the hoarded residence, are they still being fed, do you know?
I don't know. We were doing it, and then the rest of the family lives on the property, and we were doing it early morning, and then it got to be, so it was like a compound, and there were other family members, and then there was this lady's house that was condemned. This is back before the pandemic, like 2019. And they stopped going because there was a family member that was somewhat threatening. But I think that it was not only Green Hill, but there is a society out of the East Coast that had a representative that would come and feed. So I don't know all that eventually transpired with that. Because I know eventually we wound up not going back to the property because there was a family member that was somewhat threatening, but we got most of the cats neutered, and we would release them. So they got pretty smart at the end. You know, some of the cats, they knew, you know, and some of the cats that had already been neutered would go into the trap, and then we'd realize they'd been neutered, so we let them go. But there were some feral cats that were not dumb, and they knew that if they went into that trap to get the food, that they'd be taken to Green Hill. So there was some that were very hard to get, that we do know. So I'm not sure if all of them eventually got neutered. I know that we did stop going out there because there was one family member. It got not very comfortable at some point. So
You're not supposed to have a pet on the
I'm sorry?
Well, maybe he should have been neutered. I don't know. Anyway, you have anything else to add? You obviously, both of you have great backgrounds. And welcome to this phase. Now, Elise, the section B here under agenda item number 4 says term expirations. Would you care to comment on that in any way?
I don't know what term expirations means. I'm confused.
Elise, I'm talking to Elise, the staff member.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Oh. No, I didn't think someone's like gonna have a baby or whatever.
No worries. So term expirations was in reference. I've been going through some of the old advisory committee paperwork and trying to make heads or tails of things. And it appears that there's two committee member positions that are their terms are expired, according to the most recent records we have. I did actually recently speak with Betty, who is retired now, but I did briefly speak with her about how to handle that. And she said to reach out to the committee members whose terms are expired and ask them if they want to extend their term. And if they do, then I need to reach out to the commissioner that appointed them, and or address it to the committee if it was not large position, but I don't think that applies in this case. And then I have to present that to the board in a board packet for approval, which there shouldn't be any reason it would get denied, but that's something just office housekeeping that we should address.
Well, I think that's great. We can do that, as we move forward. And in the meantime, members can communicate with Elise to indicate a desire to maintain membership. This has been a fairly loose and cooperative endeavor, and those members that had to do other things or leave or whatever, they would initiate that, and then subsequently their position. So it can be formalized greater. So now we'll move to importation updates. Mr. Calderwood, would you care?
Yeah, I have an article I can send everybody. It's about importing in Colorado. That they found, last year they had something like 37,000 imported into the state, and they found disease coming in. And so I can send that article to you, but that's all I have. Right now, the law has been changed in Oregon, and I think it's successful. What I was looking for, anyhow, in making the rescues accountable for the dogs are bringing in and keeping a handle on any disease, so that we know where it comes from and we can control what's going on as far as disease. So I'll send that article to everyone.
And by the way, David, the guest we had from the state who is in charge of that rescue importation regulation enforcement, do they make regular reports of any kind, like what they've been doing, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, Elise can answer that, can't you?
I'm not sure that she has any formal reports that she's putting out on like a monthly basis or anything like that at this point in time. This is more or less the first year that she's been fully operational. They do have that section of the Oregon Department of Ag website, though, where you can check the status of rescue entities as to whether they're permitted or not.
It sounded like she was being proactive in trying to find who was bringing the dogs in and making sure they're licensed when she gave us the talk.
Yeah, I think that's a question that she asked for sure.
Right.
What is the exact name? Once again, I have it from my notes, but not in front of me, of the specific department that was created that she's part of?
Animal rescue entities through the Oregon Department of Ag.
It's called Animal Rescue Entities, huh?
ARE for short.
Okay. And her name again?
Is Ashley, and her last name I'm gonna say wrong, but I believe it's pronounced Kenzie.
Yeah, I have it in my notes. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah, we've got it in our notes from last meeting.
Well, that was very educational, very impressive, and I think that would be wonderful for us to see how they're progressing as well. Now we will, David, anything else on invitation? You're going to send us the Colorado thing?
No, I'm finished. Thanks.
37,000 out-of-state imports?
In a year, right. I'm sure we saw the same thing in Lane County from what I saw. every time we run a benchmark.
I don't even know how they would control it, but is there a limited number that are allowed in? And I can't.
No.
Yeah. No. Right.
Well, we presume that there's a demand supply balance. And,
right.
You know, there probably is here as well. The key is making sure there's no disease or other untoward and inappropriate, you know, abuse or whatever. Absolutely. All right. So Green Hill Activity, Sasha, would you care to help us?
Hi, everyone. Nice to see you today. I am sending an email right now to the group. That is a thank you letter to Lane County Commissioners, the Animal Services Advisory Committee, and Animal Services staff, thanking the team for the allocation of funds from the Harriet Ruby Trust, Harriet Ruby Smith Trust, towards the purchase of our digital X-ray machine. I'm hoping that this advisory committee may be able to forward this to our county commissioners on our behalf. And beyond that, Green Hill remains active. We're quite busy. We tend to see a little bit of a slower stray intake once the weather gets colder. But with the holidays fast approaching and financial struggles still being encountered by our community, we are seeing an increase in number of community members requesting to surrender their pets to Green Hill or animals that are in medical distress that need assistance from Green Hill because there's a lack of access to private veterinary practice at this time. So we're happy to be busy. We're constantly balancing the need of our capacity for care in terms of the number of staff and volunteers we have available to care for the animals with the space and resources allocated. But we anticipate that we'll continue to be busy through the end of the year and well into next year. The only days that Green Hill is closed to the public is Christmas Day and New Year's Day. And we were closed on Thanksgiving, but other than that, we remain open to the public every single day of the year. And then even on those holidays, we have staff and volunteers that are on site caring for the animals.
Does Green Hill have a program trying to help owners, guardians of pets where they just don't have the funds maybe for veterinarian stuff, but if they were helped, they would keep the animal at home?
Yeah, so we do not have a dedicated fund or ability to provide veterinary care for owned animals at this time, but we do have the ability to work with individual citizens who may be experiencing veterinary medical distress and may be contemplating surrendering ownership of their animal to Green Hill. In some scenarios, it is it's best for the animal and the person to make that hard decision, allow the animal to be treated, and then found a new home. In other scenarios, we are able to provide some limited medical services and then reunite that animal with its original owner. Particularly, we really work on that around spay neuter in reference to the overpopulation. So we have a farmer's grant that we utilize if a stray, particularly stray dogs, come in and they're unaltered. We're able to provide those services for free, and oftentimes we'll do so and encourage people to utilize those services and then reunite them with their original owner. In terms of emergency veterinary medical care, we are unable to offer any of those services at that time. And we do work with referring to private practice clinics as well as the emergency veterinary hospital.
Do you have a long-term goal of having some pro bono emergency medical care for indigent people?
You know, it's tricky because we certainly respect and honor the work that private practice veterinarians are doing in this community. And so we have contemplated building our medical clinic so that it could potentially offer more services to the public. But it's a fine line because we do we want to make sure services are accessible and available to community members that need them. But there's also, you know, great work being done by private practice veterinarians, as well as clinics like WAG and Pro Bono, who are really working within their niche. So at this point, we focus our medical services on the homeless animals, those that are brought to us by animal welfare officers who may be neglected or abused or abandoned. And are always open to looking at diving deeper into potential partnerships to provide a better safety net for animals in the community while not stepping on toes of people that are already performing some of that work.
Sasha, I have a question. Ms. Katie, are there any statistics regarding the percentage of animals that are surrendered because of medical issues that the owners don't have the funds available and they really have no other choice but to surrender?
I could dig into that a little bit deeper to see if that is something that we could provide here within the local community. I don't know of any larger regional or national statistics that have been gathered. I can dig in and get back to the committee to see if I can offer some. I would say lack of housing is a greater inspiration for people to surrender their pets than medical needs.
Oh, that's good, at least.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Did we lose Scott?
I think that's... Are you using the X-ray machine yet?
We are. Yeah, it is fabulous. And I've included in the letter, which I realized I just didn't hit send on yet, a quote from our director of shelter medicine, and then some examples of the ways that we've already utilized the X-ray machine to assess and treat animals in a variety of medical conditions.
You know, apropos to what you were saying about being respectful and sensitive to private veterinarians, of course that's justified. But in the universe of people that are not able to be clients, not financially able, are homeless, et cetera, you can just see around town with this huge upsurge of tragic homelessness that there's a great deal of love and bonding with animals, and particularly dogs, but I've seen cats also on people's shoulders and et cetera. And for that sphere of people, it would seem that if those companion animals are in some sort of distress, if Greenhill can help or can link them with WAGs, et cetera, that would be really a positive thing. And it would not be a trespass on the line of proprietary, you know, turf, as it were. So I hope you would consider that, and you probably do. Do you deal with the homeless community quite often?
We do quite often work with unhoused people and their pets, primarily if they're inspired to come out to the shelter to receive any of the support that we offer through our free community pet food bank, which also offers bedding and crates and leashes and collars and you know, all sorts of supplemental supplies, cat litter, in addition to pet food. That's a no barrier free service that's provided to anyone in the community that needs support to be able to provide care for their pets. We also do see a fair amount of animals coming through the shelters, either through animal welfare officers or Good Sam's bringing in strays that we're able to reunite. What's interesting, I think, to know is that if we are thinking about expanding services in this capacity, what we've learned recently by working with Elise and the Lane County Animal Services team at the summers. It was a heat incident, Elise. What did we call it? It was a cooling center response that we set up down at the fairgrounds. Is that there is a there's a high level of human services, whether that's de-escalation techniques or communication techniques or just the ability to be able to help a human who sometimes is at a high level or in a traumatic scenario, and also be able to assess and help the animals. And so we, you know, in part of our disaster response and working with Elise and her team, we do have plans for how are we able to help the most amount of animals in the community. And it really, I think the biggest way that we would be able to move forward on something like this is being able to partner with trained human services professionals, and whether that's CAHOOTS or the Red Cross or people that can really help assist navigating some of those challenging, highly emotional, as Dr. Fran had mentioned, sometimes dangerous scenarios in which we're called upon to help the animals, but the humans are really also challenging to work with. I think that is when we're talking big picture and how to best serve the community's animals and the people that they're attached to. I think that's something that would be wonderful for this committee to brainstorm, is how do we provide and link the organizations that are so good at helping humans, because we know those humans are also attached to the animals. And certainly, you know, animal welfare officers and our staff are trained to be able to communicate and de-escalate to a certain point. But then if the ratio of us to people that need help is out of whack, or certainly if there are scenarios in which people become aggressive or dangerous, I think that's important to note that there's only just so much we can do to help the animals without further support to help the humans.
Well, that's now, you mentioned that. Go ahead, play. David. Go ahead.
CAHOOTS?
Yep, exactly.
Partner with CAHOOTS.
Yeah. I remember that I think one of the biggest challenges for the homeless taking advantage of the services that Green Hill offers, such as food, and they have no way to get out there. I know that at one time, the bus does not go out there, so there's no way they can take advantage of it. And if there could be maybe once a month setting up something downtown where they could take advantage of that.
That's a very good suggestion. And, you know, I was thinking the same thing as Sasha was talking, that if Greenhill had a van or something where you'd go to these zones where these people don't have transportation per se, as a rule, like at Jefferson, the Washington Jefferson, or wherever these kind of unhoused complexes are, have you ever made visitations there, or, you know, where you can, you know, provide and distribute some of the food and the collars and various things that you do if they can somehow go out of town and get to your place? Could you ever have a van or something like that?
That's a great point. We've taken it a step further and looked for opportunities to really focus resources at a wider level. And so, for instance, we've recently donated a pallet of dog food to Pro Bono for them to be able to distribute with their next open clinic. We donate food to pet food to Food for Lane County and St. Vincent de Paul's. And a fair amount of organizations and food pantries where we know are maybe more physically accessible to people scattered throughout all of Lane County. We're still supporting some food up the McKenzie River back from the Holiday Farm fires. So it's a great recommendation, and I definitely take that to heart and are always looking for opportunities to, instead of sending, you know, our staff or a volunteer out with a van of food, being able to look at already established locations and partner with those organizations to provide support for the animals. So you guys are very smart. Thank you.
Hey, Sasha, do you by any chance to partner with Burrito Brigade? I volunteer with them, and I pick up food, human food, but if Greenhill was willing to get involved in that, I would definitely be willing to pick up food and take it to the different sites that we have food pantries.
Fantastic. Thank you, Katie. I would love to speak with you after this meeting and learn a little bit more about the scope of people that you visit and how we can get some food to you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's called the Burrito Brigade?
Yes. It's a local organization. They're pretty fabulous.
Well, wonderful. Number six is Lane County. Thank you, by the way, Sasha. Thank you so much.
This is Fran Munkenbeck. There is a group in town that actually helps pay for medical services, but it's for people who are in hospice. And so many people who are dying and on hospice don't have the money to care for their pets. And there's a group called Hospice Pet Advocates, although I think their name has changed. And they get funds and try to bring these animals to veterinarians to get care. So there is a subset of people that are able to access care for their animals, but they're hospice patients. And it's Hospice Pet Advocates, although I think they changed their name, the group changed their name. So
we are now called Patient Pet Advocates.
Yes.
And I'm a technician for that group.
Oh, great.
I do the intakes on the animals that are originally coming in. And yes, we do provide food and other support.
It's called Patient Pet what?
Patient Pet Advocates.
Well, both of you, that's just great. And, you might want to Google sometime the word SIDO, S-I-D-O. When we were putting together the seminal Lane County Animal Services Task Force report early in 2000s, there was a SIDO program in California where people who were terminal would have resources provided and earmarked for their beloved pets once they pass on, assuming that the animals weren't pre-arranged to be given to family or whatever. I think it's called the SIDO Fund, S-I-D-O. And there was some funding mechanism, but it's kind of apropos to, very good, I didn't know about this. And it's a wonderful, considerate thing for you all to do, the hospice care.
A lot of times people who are dying think the family's going to take the pet, and then when they die, the family says, we're not taking this animal. And that's why Hospice Pet Advocates formed.
That's a very good point. And maybe do they do fostering as well when irresponsible?
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Walk, huh? Yeah. Well, that's good. That's great. That's heartening to know. We are now at Lane County Animal Services Activity section. Elise, is there anything else you want to cover or tell us about?
You're muted. There you go.
Thank you, guys. You guys are on it. You're awake. I wanted to let the committee know that the WAGS proposal that was brought forth on consent calendar on December 7th was approved. So now I will figure out how to connect WAGS with the $10,000 that was allocated for the continuation of their spay-neuter program for feral cats. So that's good news. And then in animal services news, we recently went to a large animal technical rescue course in Sam Hill and that was a great course. We learned about trailer safety, which we can pass on to transporters on our disaster team, disaster preparedness team, and we also learned some new techniques for assisting first responders if there was a horse stuck in the mud or if there was a rollover trailer accident. Other than that, things are pretty status quo for the winter time. So we are getting caught up and maintaining a normal call volume.
How about the licensure situation? Are you increasing licenses and license revenue or holding steady, or how's that going?
I think licensing is pretty consistent throughout the year. A lot of most people renew their license in correlation to when their dog's rabies vaccine expires or needs renewal. So it's a consistent need throughout the year. And every time we go out in the field and make contact with a citizen, if their dogs are unlicensed, we give them a license by date. So we're always getting those people into compliance as well after we make contact with them.
Are you contacting or making annual visits to veterinarian offices with regard to their required forwarding copies of vaccination certificates to the respective jurisdictions?
So that's something our administrative staff does a great job of handling. If we've gone past the deadline for the month where rabies submissions are due, they'll reach out via phone or email and make sure that that clinic submits the appropriate rabies information.
And if by chance, inadvertently, you get some from, let's say, Eugene residents or Springfield residents or Junction City, do you, as a matter of routine, just forward those on to those jurisdictions?
I don't believe so. They have different licensing programs than we do, so I don't think they go about collecting rabies information in the same way that we do. I don't know that they would.
Well, Eugene does. Eugene and Lane County both enacted this. So did Junction City, and I don't know whatever happened with that one. But all right. Well, we are nearing the end of our meeting. Is there anything? Let's see, where are we now on this
open discussion
agenda? Any discussion then? I lost the agenda here. So, oh, here we are.
Seven.
So, open discussion of any kind?
Not for me.
And items for next month's agenda. They're continuing items. Do we have any updates about the Cresswell horse situation? Elise, is it basically been no further horror stories and full compliance and periodic inspections? Is that the basic situation per the courts and all?
Correct. To the best of my knowledge, she is in compliance. As of November, she did meet her requirement to send photos of her horses as requested in her court order, and we're not aware of any health issues or concerns out of the property at this time.
Well, I would say that one of our guests has mentioned that they have a good friend that lives right across the street. So in terms of that day-to-day stuff, if there anything comes up, request that you contact Elise and or the staff for them to look into it. Items for next month's agenda. We have a continuing one. Is there anything that jumps out as of now that you'd like to put on the agenda? Okay. I want to thank both of our guests, and I notice that your materials are part of the packet here, Virginia and Francis, and hopefully both of you can be involved, and you've contributed today, and we really thank you for that. And we'll move forward on all this stuff. And our next meeting, Elise, is when?
Is January 10th.
At 4 p.m. So hearing, is there anything else, any other business for the order? Hearing not, our next meeting is January 10th at regularly scheduled 4 p.m. And we are hereby adjourned, and everybody be safe and drive carefully, wear your masks, and have a very good new year as well. And we'll see you then.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stay there for a minute. Oh, she left. Boy, was she in a hurry.